Welcome, 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 everybody. Favorite part of my week is always seeing you all stream in from all over the world. Thank you so much for being here. To the patient waiting in the waiting room, for those who are just coming, we're just going to let everybody take a minute just to come in, and we will go ahead and begin. So welcome to all those who are tuning in on Zoom. Welcome to those who are streaming in on YouTube Live. We're so glad that you're here. And for those who are listening to the recording at a later date, we're glad that you're also participating. My name is Doyle Rungadas. I'm a member of our management team here at the Bhakti Center. And we are co-hosting this event along with a group of neighboring yatras in the Northeast area of the United States to present these series to you. This is the fourth part of a four-part series on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all presented by His Holiness Satchidananda Swami. We've gone over the tattva, as well as the lila of Sri Chaitanya, and today we're going to be reading and singing and hearing about some of the bhajans about Sri Chaitanya and his teachings, and so it'll be a little bit of an interactive day today. It's the last part of our series, but please stay tuned at the end for some important announcements from Yashoda Dulal about how you can keep in touch to hear about future series that we hope to perform for your nourishment. Maharaj will sing and share songs for about an hour, and then I believe we'll still have some space for questions and answers at the end, which you can send your questions in via chat to Yashoda Dulal. And he will field questions and will be able to ask Mar some questions at the end. So without further ado, we will introduce His Holiness Satchidananda Swami. We are so grateful to have you with us, Maharaj. You are deep in philosophy and wisdom, and you are also such a beautiful, beautiful singer of the holy names. You're one of my favorite kirtan leaders, and I'm really, really looking forward to hearing these bhajans and songs for you. So thank you so much for giving us your time. Hare Krishna.
Let me affectionately welcome all of you to this call, our concluding session on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in a way, our preparation for tomorrow, when the Lord has His divine appearance on Gopunim. Today, we will sing some beautiful songs, and I will give you a little history behind the songs, because really in bhakti, to really understand bhakti, I should say, or to really feel bhakti in the heart, there is nothing better than singing and dancing also, and then eating some prasadam and exchanging with devotees. But bhakti is really involving all of our senses and purifying them so that these very senses and this very mind can become a place where Krishna is received. So this singing is some very important sadhana in bhakti, and I was made aware of this when I came to Shida Mayapur to organize the Kirtan Melas there with our team. So during the Kirtan Melas, one devotee pointed out that singing for Krishna is so nicely described in one purport by Srila Prabhupada. And I would like to, in the beginning, give this quotation which he showed to me. Prabhupada writes, "Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession." And then he says, "By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature, and thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nations in which there are many miserable conditions. Let us summarize. By singing, you can cross over Maya and return to Krishna. It's only important that you sing the bona fide songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. So this is what we are going to do today all together. And I really, really, really beg you, sing. Wherever you are, you should sing so loudly that the neighbors will stand at your door and demand entry to join you in singing. because this is a sadhana, this is a spiritual practice, this is something that is very important. Good. We will start our little kirtan session with a song which was written by Vasudev Ghosh. You must know Vasudev Ghosh had two brothers. One was Madhava and the other was Govinda. And together they were known as the Ghosh brothers. They were singers who had no equals on earth in terms of their singing. When I was a little boy, there was one singer in Europe. His name was Enrico Caruso from Italy. And it was said that he could sing so intensely that the windows would break. But when the Ghosh brothers sang, hearts would open. The material contamination would crack, and they would develop love of God. Their singing was so beautiful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda danced when they sang. So they were in three places, they sang, and the Lord manifested his amazing dance, which is attractive to the whole world. What we will sing today is a song by Vasudev Ghosh, one of the Ghosh brothers, in which he establishes the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very amazing song. He says that you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are standing on the hill by the banks of the blue ocean. And on that hill, you are holding the four symbols of the Lord: conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. But you are also in Nadia, and there you hold the staff of a renunciant and a water pot. Some say that in a previous age you killed the demon Ravana and his hordes. But others also say that as Lord Krishna you revealed the glorious pastimes of Goloka. What I say, Vasudev Ghosh, is he who is Gora is also Krishna, he is also Rama, and he is also Jagannath. Remember, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a mystic from Bengal. He is not also one of the many avatars of God who has come to this world. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who manifests as Rama and as Jagannath. So singing this song to him will give him certainly great, great pleasure. And I will request now our technical crew in the Bhakti Center to put the first slide on. Yes, it is this slide. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Sachira Nandan by one of the celebrated Ghosh brothers, Vasudev Ghosh. Thank you. Jaya Jagannatha Sachidanandana Tribhuvane Gaure Jaya 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 Jagannatha Sachidananda Tribhuvana Gaure Jaya Nila chale Shankar Chakra Jada Patmatara Nadiyana Jale Chanda Nila chala Shankar chakra Jada Padmadara Nadiyana Gale Chanda
Jaya, 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 Ja
Everybody all together, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Participants, this melody endears you immediately to all the residents of Bengal. This is the one melody which is associated to Gaudiya Vaishnavism at this present time. So I've chosen it consciously or deliberately as an entry into the world of Gaudiya music, which is so endearing, really. So this was the first of our songs. For those of you who came late, it really says it's a wonderful glorification by Vasudev Ghosh. All glories, he sings, to the dear son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. His lotus feet are worshipped by all the three worlds. What he had in mind when he sang this is that during Mahaprabhu's time, especially in Puri, not only pilgrims from all over India came to the famed Ratha Yatra festival. No, there were devatas coming. Lord Chandas Thakur says that Vibhishan, the brother or the pious brother of Ravan, emerged from the sea one evening. He came in a giant body. He was a giant from another time. And he walked to the Gambira to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But also residents from other planets, in modern language we would say extraterrestrials, would come and be there in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's electric kirtans. People from all over the universe came, either invisible or in invisible forms, to pay their obeisances to that most merciful Lord who had come and who stood there in Jagannath Mandir. He's the selfsame Krishna, so he's the one on the altar, really, who was worshipped by him who was standing at the Garuda and looking from the Garuda pillar to he who was on the Alta, same person, identical. Yes. But he came with a special mission. He took the bhava, or the devotional mood of Srimati Radharani, and the complexion, and came as the most attractive, mind-enchanting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in his kirtans distributed ecstatic prema, or love of Krishna. We will now go to another great acharya who wrote or composed songs about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur really is, as far as kirtan is concerned, maybe the most influential writer and also kirtaniya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He developed a certain style, a very emotional style. He comes in the generation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Nityananda going to one of the side arms of Mother Ganga, the Padma River, and all of a sudden started to call out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. It means the best of humans. And Nityananda asked, my lord, who is Narottam? I've never seen a Narottam in our Sangha. And Mahaprabhu said, he will come after when you and me have disappeared from this world. He will be the one who carries our love and our bhava to the people of this world. And in order to empower him, I'm doing now something which I've never done before. The Lord took his hands and he took something which was effulgent like the sun and placed it or handed it towards Ganga. At that moment, the divine Ganga Devi, dressed in a silver dhoti, silver-colored dhoti, came out and took that something which Lord Chaitanya gave him and felt electrified. Mother Ganga said, what is this and for whom is this? Lord Chaitanya said, this is my love, my prema, which I'm going to give to you for safekeeping. When Narottam comes, many years after this, you will give this love to him. Ganga Devi said, my lord, it's very difficult to attain it. It is so ecstatic, so infectious. And there's another difficulty. How will I recognize Narottam? There are many millions of people who take their bath in my waters. Mahaprabhu said, you will recognize my Narottam. The moment he enters into your waters will swell over because you have touched the best of my devotees. And then you must give him this treasure of love of Godhead. Everything came to pass. Years later, when Mahaprabhu's Leela had become aprakat or not manifest, Narottam one day or one night came to the river Ganga, and the moment he touched her, her water swelled over the banks, and Mother Ganga gave him what Mahaprabhu had stored for him, and Narottam was never the same after that. His complexion changed entirely and he became intoxicated with love of Godhead. He wanted to see. One day he went and set out for Navadvip in order to to try to see the town in which his beloved Lord had appeared many years ago. But when he came there, he saw only for a brief moment Lord Chaitanya Nityananda dancing there. And then Navadvip became desolate. He saw the present Navadvip without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where many of the great devotees were crying for Lord Chaitanya in ecstatic love. Narottam lamented, "I want to see Lord Chaitanya, I want to see Lord Chaitanya." But his chance came. He was asked to organize a Gopunim festival like the one which we celebrate tomorrow. And during this festival, he started his kirtan. This kirtan was so beautiful that the stones would melt, that the hearts would melt. And during this ecstatic kirtan, where everyone merged in an ocean of love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Nityananda appeared. Advaita appeared. And all the other men, Gadadhara and Shivas Pandit, all the five, the Panchatattva appeared and danced in that kirtan of Narottam. That's how dear Narottam was to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he wrote a very nice song. It is called Gauranga Karuna Koro. And it is here, the song, and I will, say to you what is the, let me say, the translation. In the song he said, "Oh my dear Lord Gauranga, show your mercy to this lowly and destitute soul. Oh Lord, there's no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds." That is Narottam Das poetry. So devotional, so absolutely urgent. He is not half alive in devotion. He's fully alive in devotion. We have here in Europe a poet called Dante. He wrote a piece of literature called The Divine Comedy, and in it he describes various hells. And the first hell is designed for those who are half-hearted, who are on the spiritual path, but who are not giving themselves fully, but who are half-hearted. These half-hearted people cannot enjoy material pleasures, and they cannot enjoy spiritual pleasures. It is hellish. So Narottam wants to avoid that in his poetry. He writes in the second verse, "Holding grass between my teeth." That is a little unusual today, but this means humility, a sign of humility. It means I'm like a cow. I'm like a dumb person who cannot speak even. I'm holding this grass between my teeth, like a cow would do, or a horse. "And I'm calling out to you now." So something he can say. "Please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of the heart." Yes, Narottam speaks of this temple. We are, as a movement, very eager to build various temples to welcome the public. But a devotee of Krishna must become a builder, a constructor of the temple of the heart. It's very important. Have you started your construction already? Well, one wall has to be faith. The other wall has to be enthusiasm for that temple. The third wall has to be conviction. And the fourth wall may be necessary, patience for the Lord to respond. Your temple in the heart must be built, every one of you. Become an architect of the temple of your heart where you welcome the Lord. Then he says in verse 3, if you do not give your mercy to me, seeing how fallen I am, then why are you known as Patita Pavana, the merciful savior of the fallen? I'm plunged. What a nice English word. I'm plunged amidst the violent hurricane-stricken waves in the ocean of this material world, from which there's no escape. Kindly hear me and give me the gift of your divine lotus feet, which are compared to a boat in which your servant may cross the ocean of birth and death. This is poesy, my dear devotee. It makes your heart spin like this. And it makes you, it churns your whole mind and personality. So I would like you all to sing now. By the way, I've forgotten to introduce our kirtan group. We have here next to me, I think you know him, Gaurkrishna, famous Gaurkrishna. We are called the Gaurkrishna Band after him. And then we have, please look into the camera, Atul. We have Atul Krishna here. Yes, that's Atul Krishna. He's from the Mayapur Gurukul and is a yoga teacher now. And he is our Bidanga player. So we will sing now the Gauranga Karuna Korol. And our magician puts the slides there. Wonderful. Wow. Wow. Karuna Koro, Gauranga Karuna Koro, Gauranga, please give Koro your Karuna, your mercy. Gauranga Karuna Koro. Everybody, please. Gauranga Karuna Koro. Dinahina Jane. Once again, everyone, Gauranga Karuna Koro. Samopatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Please sing. Samopatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Samapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Samapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. Oh Gauranga, show your mercy to this lowly and destitute soul. O Lord, there is no one more fallen than myself in the three worlds. O Dante Trinada Ricaura, Achille Tonara, Dante Trinada Ricaura, Achille Tonara. I'm calling out to you now. Please be compassionate upon me. And please come to reside within the temple of my heart. Oh, Yadidaya Nakari.
Oh, God.
deci baba dufane anahika nisara deci baba dufane anahika nisara Sitarana Taranidame Dase Kalapara Sitarana Taranidame Dase Kalapara O Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Adasaranya
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Adasaranya
Ananakadaye Sada Let's please all sing together again the first line. It's a begging or an appeal for mercy. What is the future of a baby who does not know how to cry? Such a baby will die. On the spiritual path, we are all young. We are all beginners. In this way, although we have birds on our face, we are like babies. We don't know how to cry for mercy, to appeal for mercy, to earnestly and without any self-deceit call out for mercy. Our future is unknown. Narottam Das Thakur, an Acharya, guru of millions of disciples, a personality who was so influential in spreading Chaitanya's message in the post-Chaitanya era, is pleading for mercy like a child. And that is his great, great strength. Nowadays, we all speak about empowerment. We wish to go beyond our own limits. We may even understand that the limits of our thinking are the last limit for our limitlessness. In other words, because our thinking is limited, that's why we are limited. If our thinking is unlimited, we would come in contact with our spiritual nature, which is boundless, borderless. But to hold such an empowerment of being able to see things spiritually, to see things clearly, you need to know how to hold empowerment, how to keep it. And that keeping of empowerment, keeping of divine, and keeping the divine investment into our heart with us is only possible if we remain in a humble state of mind where we acknowledge the source of our power. The moment a spiritualist becomes self-deceited and forgets that all he has is a gift, is a divine investment from above, the spiritual potency leaves him. It leaves him like water leaves a pot which has a crack. That is what happens when our divine empowerment leaves us. We have become proud. The crack of proud has split our heart, and that's why we are not able to continue. Good. Therefore, Narottam ends his song. He says, after saying that he feels like a person drowning in the ocean of the material world, he says, Narottam Das, the servant of the servant of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, makes this prayer. Good. That was our second song. Now we feel inspired for the third song. There are so many more songs. Now we must sing happily. Be aware of the emptiness of a busy life. This is how I like to introduce this song. Be aware of the emptiness of a busy life. Prabhupada used to sing this song very often. This song is Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gainu. It says, oh Hari, my life passes uselessly. I have received this human birth, but by not performing bhajan of Sri Radha Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. Any moment, Narottam feels, where he is busy in so many other, things, except for worship of Radha and Krishna, is a useless spending of his time. You know, in China, they found one monk who had died. You know, he had been in a mountain somewhere in a cave, and he must have been already dead for 3 or 4 days when he was found. And there was an inscription in the cave which he had written moments before he left his body, The inscriptions read, "The hands are busy. The mind is busy, but the heart asks, why?" Beautiful, no? Why am I doing this? So Narottam does away with such a busy life. He says, life is meant for worship of Radha and Krishna. And any moment where I don't do this, I knowingly drink poison. And then he says, why has attachment for Harinam Sankirtan, Goloka Vrindavan's treasure of divine love, not awakened within me? Why am I not attached to singing the Lord's name? Day and night my heart burns. And then he comes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, the son of the king of Braja has now become the son of Sachidevi. And Balaram has become Nitai. Yes, Yashoda Dulal. I hear you silently speaking the word Nityananda. Yes. Through Harinam, they have delivered all those who were fallen and wretched. Jaga and Madai are testaments to this fact. And then he says, O my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, accompanied by the daughter of Brisha Banu Maharaj, be merciful to me at last. Do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, other than you, who is mine. So, we will sing now. I have requested Gaur Krishna to sing this Hari Hari Bifale. And here is the verse.
Hari Hari. Bifale
Jan Milo. Oh,
My dear devotees, in conclusion, there's so many more songs, and we have them all here, you know, so many more songs. But we need hours and hours and hours to go into it. One thing I have thought very deeply about. Sometimes our mind may say, oh, here you are trying to sing old Bengali, but you have an English tongue or a German tongue. Are you not deceiving yourself? Is this really spiritually beneficial? And the answer is yes. The thunder doesn't have any language. The sound of the rumbling thunder is not German, nor is it English, and not Hindi, not Bengali. It is transcendental. It may be heard over Germany or heard over England and America, but the source of it is transcendental. Not transcendental, it's beyond these designations. So when the acharyas sing these songs, when they compose the songs, then yes, it may be expressed through old Bengali, or it may be expressed in Hindi, or it may be expressed in Sanskrit. What matters is the rumbling of the thunder, the thunder from the heart which come of the acharyas, who have so much love for Krishna and for Lord Chaitanya, that anyone who comes in contact with their songs is purified from the contamination of Maya, as Srila Prabhupada has detailed. So singing these songs is something really nice, because in a very quick way you touch the heart, the thundering heart, the bhakti heart of these acharyas. In a very quick way, devotional sentiments and emotions are arising when we hear their pleas, when we hear their humility, when we hear their realized descriptions of Chaitanya and of Radha and Krishna. Immediately there is a sudden movement in the heart, and our bhakti arises easily. I recommend all of you to not go anywhere without a songbook in your luggage. Or you have mobile telephones, you can download some songbooks on your mobile telephones, and then from time to time, just in a very brief moment which you have, to sing one of these songs. I always sing before I go to bed, or when I have a few minutes here and there, I sing with my songbook, and that immediately brings me from an ordinary mindset So the mindset of the Acharyas, an extraordinary, transparent mind, where Krishna consciousness is easily perceived. Our time is up here. I will now request that our Yashoda Dulal, I believe, will give some announcements, if I'm correct, and then we will have time for questions and answers. Please, Yashoda Dulal.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. This was so nectarian. And thank you for all the instructions and the sweet advice that you gave us extracting the essence from these bhajans. So actually, I'm going to share a couple of very sweet things. So don't go away. These are not your usual announcements. And then we will take questions. If anyone has questions, please put them in the chat box for me. So the first thing that I want to share was these deities that you see at the back where Satchinandan Swami is sitting are the beautiful deities worshipped by him, Radha Kanayala. Maharaj, you want to tell us something about them?
Yes, Radha Kanhaiya Lal are the names of the deities which started the Sankirtan movement. Remember, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Gaya back to Navadvip, he made actually a little detour. He plunged himself into the Ganga, crossed the Ganga and went to a beautiful place called Kanai Natayshala. And there he saw Krishna appearing to him under a banyan tree. I have gone there with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on the Yatra and also Giriraj Maharaj. It's a beautiful place on the Ganga. When you come with a boat, you see big, big caves there, which are the caves of crocodiles. Don't be afraid. You just go up the stairs and then enter into a wonderful property, which was given to our movement. And there is a beautiful temple which has the deities Radha Kanhaiya Lal that were installed there by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He wanted to commemorate that moment where Mahaprabhu, when he had crossed the Ganga by swimming, not by boat, and he had come out, he saw Krishna under that huge banyan tree, and Krishna motioned to him. So Gauranga ran towards Krishna, but then he disappeared or moved to the side and was in the back of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So he turned around, he wanted to embrace the Lord and catch him, but the Lord then escaped. So from that time on, Lord Chaitanya had only one desire, one question, one motive. Where is Krishna? So these deities are Radha Kanhaiya Lal. They came to me when I was on my way to Kanai Natashala, where I performed for the month of Kartik, a Kartik Vrata, and these deities came with me. They are very, very, very beautiful. They are decorated with flowers, but if you would look at the lotus feet of Kanai, you would see each nail, you would see jewels sparkling there. He's very, very beautiful, very merciful. If somehow you are welcome to take this photo, maybe Yashoda Dulal, we should give this photo as a present to the devotees.
Right. Those people who are on our registered list, we can email this picture.
Oh yeah, please do so.
Thank you. Thank you. These are very beautiful deities. You brought them to our place when you stayed with us a few times, Maharaj. and they're so wonderful. So the next thing, there's a couple more announcements coming after this. As you know, this series is organized by the Bhakti Center and co-hosted by several yatras in the Northeast, New Jersey, Tawako, Central New Jersey, New York, which is the Brooklyn Temple, 26 Second Avenue, ISKCON, Bergen County, New Jersey, Richmond, Virginia, and Kitanagi Eco Farm, Pennsylvania. I wanted to show you the face of one who shows up on these Zoom chats or Zoom Sanghas as Bhakti Center Das or Bhakti Center, and that's actually Bhakta Daniel Kavasi. He is the one behind the posters, the creatives, the emails, as well as the technology. So we wouldn't be able to bring these programs to you without his help. He also assists Gaur Sharan Prabhu, one of our resident brahmacharis at the Bhakti Center. Gaur Sharan runs the daily Bhagavatam program, and Daniel Kavasi also helps in that. So thank you, Daniel Prabhu. And today, we have an exciting festival. The weather is beautiful. It's a spring day. It's 66, or in fact, in New York, it's 70 degrees and 70 Fahrenheit and sunny. And we have our monthly Sankirtan festival that happens. It's organized by the Bhakti Center, by Brooklyn, ISKCON, and New York City Harina, which is Ram Roy Prabhu's group. And a bunch of devotees get together and sing and dance, and there's a book table. You can come and assist in any way, or just come enjoy the wonderful day. And like Maharaj said, this singing and dancing will enable us to go deeper into our spiritual life. So it's today in Washington Square Park between 4 and 7 p.m. Masks are compulsory. And if you're not feeling well, or you feel you might have some kind of COVID-19 symptoms, please stay at home and support from a distance. And next Saturday, there is a one-day bhakti retreat with His Holiness Radhanath Swami and yogis Raghunath and Charu, as well as Jai Girdhari and Gauravani Prabhu. So that is next Saturday, the 4th of April, is it, Doyal?
3rd, Saturday the 3rd.
Saturday the 3rd, thank you. Saturday, April 3rd, and it's an online retreat. You can find the links for registering in the chat, in the Zoom chat. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can go to bhakticenter.org and look for this poster and click on it to register. So with that, let me ask my first question. This first question comes from Unanimous. How can we live more integrated spiritual lives where we are can be ourselves with others in an appealing way that feels natural to us and to others?
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. To have an appealing bhakti way of bhakti life that is attractive to others, you really need to see that you are natural in your bhakti, that it is something that is not a mask which you put on, but it is something which comes from inside. So therefore, you need a little practice. If you want to build up your inner stamina, your inner bhakti personality, you need practice. It's almost like if you want to have muscles, you need to make a few push-ups, otherwise the muscles will not come and the health will not come. There's nothing which convinces more than a person who is natural, who is in his element, who is not wearing a mask, but who is real. Because people are so much divorced from their real self, when they see a real person, they immediately become drawn to him or her. They immediately think, let me become like him. So your own practice, I said today to one devotee, you need to learn to be alone in a room with Krishna. You need to learn to be alone in your room with Krishna. That means reading, worshipping, chanting. Then you are a very convincing person. And it is naturally shared. Everyone knows this is a real devotee. So this is the first thing. And the second thing which you need to know is a little bit, I call it empathy. You need to understand the person, feel like him. You need to walk, as the Native Americans would say. You need to be able to walk in their moccasins and see life through their perspective, so that you are able to connect with the people. You are able to hear them. What is important is, before you talk, listen twice, and then you know what the person is in front of you. Listen to what they say, and listen to what they don't say. That is, how they feel, how they how they perceive the world. Words and feelings are not always the same, so you need to listen twice to understand each one of these dimensions. But really, I can only say practice, 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 so that you become natural and you become spiritually strong, and that will be very, very, very attractive. Very, very attractive. I have asked myself the question, why is His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj so attractive to so many people, also totally outsiders, who are not having one idea of bhakti? And I have always seen, because he has practiced most properly in a previous lifetime, and also in this lifetime he has practiced very, very nicely, and therefore he is natural. I saw this in maximum degree in my own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. You know, when he came to Germany, totally people who had no idea of spiritual practice came to him, like academics, people from other religions, monks. We had many prominent people in the waiting line who wanted to see him, shapers and movers of the German society. And they all were very, very inspired by Srila Prabhupada. With some, Prabhupada did not talk about high philosophy, but about weather-related subjects. With one, he talked about his sons and so on. And with others, about cultural things. He didn't preach to them, but they understood from what he had, how he had practiced, or let me say, from what was inside of him. There's a saying, it says, I'm sorry, I cannot hear what you say to me, because what you are speaks so loud to me that that the sound is louder than what you say to me.
Thank you, Maharaj. Such a wonderful, deep answer. And you also attract the hearts of everyone who sees you. So we're very fortunate you're with us today on this Sangha. Devkinandan Prabhu, who is one of the leaders of the ISKCON Central New Jersey Temple, had a question which I'm turning into an observation, which is that the singing and dancing is so pleasing, the singing of bhajans especially, is so inspiring to the heart, that we as temple managers and managers of centers should find a way to introduce more of it into our daily sadhana as well as make it an integral part of our temple program.
How true, how true. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj has written a wonderful new book, which I highly recommend to all of you. It's called I'll Build You a Temple, and then subtitle The Juhu Story. And in this book, he describes one incident. It was in 1977, and Prabhupada was staying in one of the towers of the Juhu temple complex, and there was one Mr. Sethi, a friend of the devotees, who used to organize a big kirtan event each Sunday. All the grihasthas in his sangha came together and they chanted, and one Sunday they were invited by our temple, and they had the plan, they had the program to chant from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then 2 hours Braj Bhajans. And when Prabhupada heard this, he said, this our men should do. They should sing every day kirtans and bhajans. Our temples are made for this. Then Giriraj Maharaj said, Prabhupada, there are so many services to be done. So the agreement was made, every Sunday from morning till evening bhajan should go on. And since you are a temple manager, I want to give you a secret. When you have bhajans in your temple and kirtans in your temple, the devotees will be so satisfied that they don't feel that there's any problems. You will get away with all the politics, all the not enough money problems, all the unsatisfied individual problems. Everything will come into sync and into place by this kirtan. I would recommend to you to first do it once a week at a suitable time where maximum of devotees can come. Now, of course, you have to see how to make it online available, and just do it steadily. Maybe increase it, but start at least with one day a week, a bhajan evening, a kirtan evening, and you will see the atmosphere in the temple will become very, very light and very nice.
Thank you, Maharaj. And actually, one of the things I wanted to announce when I announced the monthly Sankirtana festival today is the fact that all winter, and now of course nice weather has come around, we have an initiative at the Bhakti Center called Soul Spot, S-O-U-L, Soul Spot, and they go out and chant on the streets where it's safer, they're with masks, and it's safer to do that, and they chant on the streets on Thursdays. That takes place instead of our Thursday night kirtan, which used to be a regular program at the Bhakti Center. They do it on Sundays. They've started doing it on Friday night, so it's at least 2 or 3 times a week that they go out. So if anyone who is in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut would like to attend these bhajans and these kirtans on the street, they can sign up for Soul Spot's WhatsApp messages, and Daniel Prabhu can put them in the links right now in Zoom. So our next question comes from Anonymous. This bhajan that you sang, Hari Hari Bifale, that we've heard is one of Prabhupada's bhajans. It's wonderful bhajan, but someone who hears it and may not have the right bhakti context might misunderstand Narottam Das Thakur as being depressed. So how do we realize the essence of not just this bhajan, but the teachings that we are fallen, but not allow ourselves to stay fallen or get depressed?
Yeah, when we hear these words, my life passes uselessly. I have knowingly drunk poison. It sounds as if he has a depressive disorder if you look from the distance and you don't know. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur distinguishes feelings of separation for Krishna from depression like this. He says, anything in connection with Krishna, even feeling separated from Krishna, means you contact Krishna, you are with Krishna. Krishna is there in the heart. Outwardly he's not there, but inwardly he's there. This is what the movement, what the feeling of separation means. Outwardly you say you miss him, but inwardly he is playing in your heart, you're remembering him in the heart. That is the mood which these great acharyas feel. They feel connected with Krishna through their feelings of separations. I know in the material world this sounds paradoxical or contradictory, but see, in the spiritual world you have to be able to keep at least two ideas in the head at the same time. It's spiritual, it's transcendental, it's beyond material logic. Now, how to communicate that to the audience? I would say don't. Hari Hari Bifale is a bhajan which you wouldn't sing in a public kirtan program, at least not with a translation, because Krishna consciousness is a science. It's a science of the heart, the purified heart. And if you bring subjects which are too high or which demand too much knowledge, it's almost like a professor who enters the school class of young, you know, six-year-old students and writes formulas on the table which Albert Einstein used. He should not do it because the level of his students, the level on which the students are, is not such that they can understand. So therefore, I always want to say, if you want to make bhakti appealing to others, you must know where they are. You must show some empathy. You must understand who is the person who listens and what is good for him to inspire him. Not the most highly advanced subjects immediately.
Thank you, Maharaj. May we take two quick questions?
Yes.
Thank you. So, what the first of those two questions comes from Diksha Devi in Delhi. She says she recently went to Sridhar Mayapur and came back feeling very nourished and uplifted. But now she's back home in Delhi, and I guess this is true for any of us. We come back home from a retreat. And she's wondering, how do I remain grateful and connected with the mercy of Gaur Katha, with the mercy of the Dham, even after the retreat is over and I'm back home?
Yes. I think many of us have the same experience. We go to a holy dham, or we go to attend a week or even a day in the temple, and we become so inspired. But then when we come home, we hear a knocking at the door, and we don't, no, no one is here. I won't open the door. But eventually you have to open the door, and who is outside? Your old life, your old habits. So how to avoid this roller coaster movement in spiritual life? Here is an answer. You need a security net that catches you. When you go to the Holy Dham, you are uplifted by the power of the Dham. But when you come home, this uplifting power is no longer there. So if you don't have a security net, you fall completely. Security net, what is that? The three P's. Write it down. Philosophy, people, and practice. When you study every day the philosophy, when you every day have contact with devotees, you know, spiritual people, and when you every day have practice, you have a very good security net that soon can become the ground on which you walk. So this is the answer to this question: how can I become, how can I stay inspired even when I come home after a very enlivening visit? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So before I ask the last question, if I may ask a question that came up a couple of times in the prior sessions and even once or twice today, do you have a particularly favorite bhajan? Because I know all bhajans are wonderful, but do you have a particularly favorite bhajan?
Yeah, I very much appreciate this Gauranga Karuna Koro from Narottam Das Thakur, which we sing today. It is, I like very much this line, please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my mind. I very much, on the temple of my heart even, I very much like this mood and so on. But I will be very, straightforward with you. I place my entire spiritual life on three words. I sing the three words. I dream of these three words. I aspire that the deep meaning of these three words become revealed to me. They are Hare, Krishna, and Rama. So beautifully arranged in the Maha Mantra. I have seen the mind is limited in its ability to understand. Often our spiritual life is only a concept, a mental construction, something which we have heard but which has not has not come alive for us, which has not become revealed to us. I'm tired of concepts. I know that concepts can show us the way, the direction, but what we all need is a nourishing experience. And this experience for me comes when I chant the holy names of Krishna as they are in the Maha Mantra, when I sit before my beautiful deities, or a first class photo of Krishna, image of Krishna. And when, while I chant, I remember my Lord, who is so dear to me, and then it comes alive. And I've seen that this comes true in the chanting. So the Maha Mantra is not only the Maha Mantra for me, it's not japa for me, it's not the best bhajan for me, it's not the best meditation, it's not the best austerity, it's not the best essence of the Vedic scriptures. The Maha Mantra is much more than that. It is Radha and Krishna who are inviting me to come closer, and yet more close, and still more close. So that is my main focus, is there. But I do like this Gauranga Karuna Koro Dina Hina Jane. That I like very much also.
Maharaj, thank you. Actually, the question I was going to ask you, you already answered, truly answered this question. So I'll switch to a different one. That question came from Tarun, who's one of our friends in ISKCON of Silicon Valley, Vaisheshika Prabhu's wonderful center in California. So he had asked about japa and the bhajan, and you answered that wonderfully. So I'll end with, there's a couple of questions that came in, one from Anonymous and one from Alicia, and I'll combine those. Tomorrow is Gaur Purnima in most parts of the world. And as we enter Gaur Purnima, how do we request and pray to Lord Chaitanya to come into our hearts? And then how do we keep him there in ecstatic prema bhakti after Gaur Purnima is over?
Hare Krishna, that's a very nice conclusion to our series. You must know that Lord Chaitanya appears in three ways. This is from Kavi Kanapur's, yes. Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natakam. In the ninth act of the book, you find a man is talking to his wife and says, the Lord appears in three ways. The wife asks, please tell me, what are the three ways in which the Lord appears? And then this wonderful devotee says, well, he appears directly as he did when he stayed in Jagannath Puri and pilgrims came to see him. The second way the Lord appears is he appears in the thoughts, in the hearts of his devotees, like he did in the case of Nakula Das Brahmachari, who was a very advanced devotee and who had a direct experience of Lord Chaitanya or appearance of Lord Chaitanya in his heart. At that time, he behaved in an extraordinary ecstatic way and he looked luminous and effulgent. So yes, this is how the Lord appears in his second way. But the third way is he appears in the thought of his devotees. So I have written this in my Gopuni message, which I will send to Yashoda Dulal. It's a little article, it's called The Most Magnanimous Giver. And there I also give a few ideas how to become mindful of Lord Chaitanya on his appearance day, so that he really manifests in your thoughts first, then in your hearts, then you even can feel when you look at the deity, so he's there. I will send this to Yashoda Dulal, and he can send it to you and to anyone who wants. I want to thank all of you very, very much. It was a genuine pleasure for me to spend time with you. And as I always say, when we do these very devotional online sanghas, where we explain these very devotional subjects, you know, you feel actually, you can perceive, not just a vague feeling, you can perceive everyone being there and going on this journey together. This is a great, let us say, opportunity for a person like me to travel to America, into your home, into the home of Yashoda Dulal, the home of Dayal Gauranga, and all of you, because one can sense you being there. So that is a great pleasure for me to be with you. I promise to learn better English. It is still can still be improved. More vocabularies, vocabulary, better grammar, and so on. It will come by and by. I'm with Gaur Krishna. He is speaking London English. Soon it will color. It will come to me, this English knowledge. So I thank you very much, and I will say good bye to all of you. I think Dayal Gauranga Prabhu will make his parting announcement. We will all cry. Oh no! Don't say goodbye to us, Dayal Gauranga. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. For those of us that are crying and would like to mitigate the tears at least somewhat, there's ways you can stay in touch with Maharaj. Sachinandanaswami.com. There's a variety of links that are being put in the chat now if you would like to register for Maharaj's newsletter, where he sends out regular letters and communications to all of his students and followers and well-wishers. So please subscribe to his Sharanagati newsletter. You can hear from Maharaj regularly and also get updates on his schedule, wherever he'll be, where you can hear him and stay in touch. There's also links that we'll put here where you can join the newsletters and communications from the Bhakti Center, where we'll announce future programs like this. Our next series is in the works, and we'll be telling you about that shortly. And also, for those that missed it, we do have a one-day retreat. It's an all-day online retreat with Radha Swami and other special guests from around the world, so you can please tune into that as well. And you have to register for that on the Bhakti Center website, which we put the link there. Thank you all so much for being and participating, Maharaj. We can't thank you enough. We will immediately look to schedule our next series with you in the near future. And to conclude, we'd like to give everybody the opportunity to unmute themselves and share their love and appreciation with the warm Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you for your gift. Hare Krishna, thank you so much.